Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We are here live teaching in Prophetic Grace Network right here. Yeah. Good to have you tonight and glad you're on with us. So hopefully you're going to be having a good night with us tonight. We plan on having a really good night and seeing what the Lord is saying and doing and seeing how everybody's doing and seeing what's up with everybody. Those who want to get in there and talk a little bit, let us know how you're doing. Tell us what's going on in your life. We wouldn't mind hearing it at all. So, yeah, not all about just prophesying. Well, we'd love to do that. But all just about, declaring what Jesus is doing. Just really finding out about you also. What you do, what you want to do, what you're called to do. So, just remember that. I try to remember it myself. But if you've been hit by COVID like me a little bit, I'm doing really good. I'm getting better all the time. I don't feel bad. I just don't feel good yet, but I'm feeling better. I'm feeling gooder and gooder, just not good. But, getting pretty close. So really a big thing to, just know that I've had COVID, man. I mean, I think it's kind of cool, actually. I think it's kind of interesting. And I think the minor level, the lower level, never really hit me that hard, but just kind of hit me little by little, right? I think I talked about it here on the show many times, thinking that it was something else. And the whole time it was COVID. I was bit by the bug. Yeah, and, one thing I had realized, too, over the last few days is that how absolutely exhausted that I was. Not even realize it because I, kind of an energetic person. I like to get out and do things and get things done. I like to work. I just love it. I love to get things done. It's a lot of fun. So I've had an opportunity to do that. And without realizing it, I was using energy that I didn't realize I was using. And brother, did I pay for that one? I fooled myself again. Yes, I did. Truly, I'm doing good, doing much better today. Had a great weekend, doing some sweating. Just going to show you what's going on. If you can't handle it, it's okay. Just kind of close your ears for a moment. But yeah, I've been doing some sweating. Just different times. I don't understand all that. But maybe some of you guys might have had the same experience. I don't know. Hopefully you haven't been hit by any of it. But if you have, don't be ashamed to talk about it. Get it out in the open. If you want, you don't even have to do that. You don't have to do anything if you don't want to do it. All right, we're here to be free, set you free. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Just do what God's telling you to do. And when you do that, you're going to be blessed, right? Yeah. There are different things, of course, that I want to share. One way that I know that I'm getting much better, like I said, I've never really felt bad. It might have been one point, a couple of days, I might have felt bad, but not too bad. But, I had just little by little, it just kept hanging on. And then I realized I had COVID, so that told me why I was feeling the way I was feeling. Other people sharing their experiences really helped. And so I went and got tested, and there it was. Unbelievable. All right, so we're going to talk about whatever you guys want to talk about tonight. I do have some things I want to share, some things I've been thinking about. Oh, yeah, I know what I'm going to tell you. The reason I know I'm feeling better is because I woke up just revelating. When I revelate early in the morning, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just like the Holy Spirit talking directly to me. And it's like he does, you know, and everybody, right? If you got Jesus, he, the whole thing is talking to you. If you just learn to listen to him and know that it's him. And so he woke me up, or I woke up, and there he was speaking to me. Yeah, I'll probably share that here in the next few days. So hang on as we work on that. Okay. Hang on as we work on it. Get Jesus. All righty. Let's see what he wanted to do here. Yeah, I have we're going to talk about this this week probably about sex, how sex affects us in a positive way and can affect us in a very negative way, and why God made rules with sex and, you know, sex the way that who we have sex with and just sex in general and the purpose of it, the reason he created it and the power of it. The beauty of it, the glory of it in marriage. And it's just a beautiful thing. I think we want to get into it tonight, actually. I don't know. I might just do that. I seem to be going there. But talking about sex on Monday night. Wow. Let me talk about this first. And then we may talk about that. I don't know. I got a couple of things I want to talk about here. God is not trying to take down America. Some people think I'm saying that God is trying to take down America, like destroy it. That is not it at all. Not even close. If you're listening to the wrong people, interpret what I say. So I like to try to keep it clean as I can. Keep it out in the open as much as possible, what I am saying. But it's a lot to say, so it can be confused. Now, I am not saying God's trying to take America down to snuff it out. That's not the point. The point is that I do not believe America is going to be part of the one world system. You know, there's a lot of people that believe that. Not an uncommon thing to believe. We're not going to be part of the one world system. At least that's what I'm hoping, you know, what I'm believing. But either way, in my case, it doesn't really matter because what I'm sharing is because God knows that America is number one right now. It's been number one for a reason. Done a lot of great things. We've done some great things for the world. We have been a blessed nation, and God has blessed our nation. It has been glorious. Brought us some wonderful, wonderful things, results, and just blessings. So what I am saying is that things will get back to somewhat normality once the process of what I'm saying, what God is telling me he's going to do, whether we like it or not, the process of what he's about to take us through, has been taking us through since Trump and Biden and the whole thing for a long time, but it just kind of, you know, narrowed down. Biden became the sign of the shock wave of, you know, people started looking up and going, what is going on around here? Did you notice that? Yeah, they went, what the is going on around here? Yeah, what in the heavens? Or whatever they said. Yeah, it got people's attention. And so I think that what God is trying to say is that he got their attention with Biden, getting it in there, whether you like the way he did it or not. God doesn't care. But do you think it's fair or not? He did it. And he did it for a reason, because he is going to bring America down, not down to the ground and stomp on it, but down to the level where it's actually going to be used to pass on the baton to Europe. It's going to pass the baton to Europe, whether willingly or unwillingly or however you want to say it, it's what's going to happen. It's going to pass the baton to Europe because the Europeans and the Europe system, is the part of, the Antichrist. The Antichrist lives in Europe. He was born in Europe. I know who he is. He was born in Europe. He lives all over the place, but he lives in Europe mostly. Family's European, and the roots are in European, Germany, Europe. And so that's why I know that that's what's going to happen, right? Because the Antichrist system is what God is allowing to take its position so that God can move on to a whole other position himself. He's going to eventually cast out Satan out of the heavens and be at war with Michael and the angels. I told you about, I have a little bit of relationship with Michael. I know it sounds crazy. It sounds crazy to me when I talk about it, but it's just the truth. I have a relationship with him. He's never said a word to me. Take that and eat that, man. That'll blow your mind, right? I have a relationship with Michael, the archangel, and he's never said a word to me. That's amazing. It's literally amazing. And it all, I'll tell the whole story sometime, but it all started with reading scripture one day, and all of a sudden, then it said, and I think Daniel 12, I was really heavy in prayer at the time, heavy prayer and intercession, and just not knowing where to go or what to do. And I'm reading in Daniel, and it says, and Daniel stood up, and it's like something happened. It's like Daniel stood up. I mean, not Daniel, Michael stood up. Sorry. Daniel 12, it says, and verse 1, I think, and it says, and Michael stood up, like he stood up, like, and I tell you, when I read that, it just kind of exploded inside of me. I just went, wow, what does that mean? I mean, I didn't even know what it meant. I had no clue until I talked with somebody who was familiar with Israel. I was not familiar with all this. You'd think I would be, but I was familiar with certain things and not that. And she said, this friend of mine told me, who was a lover of Israel, and has ministry in Israel, had for years, and paid a price to be there and the whole thing. And called me up one day, we were talking, she said, Michael is, because I was telling about the Michael thing, and when Michael came to visit me, it was about the same time that I met her, we were talking, and he said, well, Michael is the head angel of Israel, did you know that? Like she was surprised I didn't know that. I went, no, I didn't know. I wasn't going to act like I did. No, I didn't know that. Really? You mean like the head angel over Israel? He said, yeah, let me show you. She showed me scripture. And I went, wow, Shazam, or Kabam, or whatever they say. I was surprised. I mean, I just didn't have a clue. What's he doing visiting me then? And then you guys know I went to there and my great experience I had there driving down the street with one of the drivers that was driving me to Lebanon from the Sea of Galilee to go from there. We were going to set up some meetings and in driving up there, he was driving and I was in the car with him. He said, oh, let's pray. And I told you about this, but he said, I started praying. I pray like I always do. I don't know the guy, but hey, whatever. And I started praying in tongues, praying in English, praying in tongues. He said, he looked at me, you know Hebrew? And I said, no, I don't know Hebrew. Why are you saying that? He said, you were just speaking in Hebrew. I went, oh, my gosh, that is so amazing. I was in shock, And that was one of my first tongues. It's not my first tongue. And I said, what was I saying? He said, you were saying Christ is being exalted at the right hand of the Father. And I just went, something in my spirit just went, in awe of God. Christ is being exalted at the right hand of the Father. I went, okay. So anyway, long story short, talking about all that, I like to share things that I get, how I've been connected to this stuff, just to let you know what's going on. and where I've been and what God has called me to do, and I don't have a clue about any of it. And so God is going to use Michael to he wants to get this situation going on where he's going to cast Satan down out of heaven, and Michael's going to be the one that's going to be used to do that. If you read in Revelation 11, 11, 12. Kind of interesting. So God is wanting to do that. You see what I'm saying? He wants to cast Satan out of heaven. Stand up. And when he stands up, it's going to be like last resort for you, devil. You're going down now. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And so, and my calling to Israel spiritually, I don't know anybody there. The people I met when I was there, just kind of a bunch of pastors and, some prayer people. And, I was there with Benny Hinn Ministries. And Benny Hinn had not invited me, but his pastor, Pastor Larry, had invited me to come. So I went, and it was not an invitation of Pastor Benny. I don't want to exaggerate anything or talk about anything. It wasn't true. So I stayed in their two-story condominium across from the old city. It had to be extremely expensive. That property right there, where you just walk out the door and go over half a block, and you're at the old city of Jerusalem, the Wailing Wall, the whole thing right there. He bought some high-level property, no doubt. Okay, anyway, so my connection there is just, even though it just seems sketchy to me in the natural realm, but in the spirit realm, it is very loaded with information. So when something's going on with Israel that's important, he shows me, so this is one of the things he's showing me about Israel, is that God is wanting to cast Satan down out of the heavens. And when that happens, that's going to happen during the tribulation, which I know I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here, and so are you. So once Michael and them cast Satan down out of heaven, they're going to come down to the earth, and then, of course, Satan's going to be incarnate through the Antichrist man that I know what his name is, as you guys know. He's going to become, that man will become Satan incarnate. If you just knew about this, man, you'd know this is like hotter than a pistol right now. My God. Woo! Jesus. My God. I mean, yo, there's been a turning of the corner made that is a bit shocking to me. Told me about it years ago, just that and the other, about the Antichrist, the two witnesses, the whole thing. But I honestly, thank you, God, that's so awesome. But, as far as it actually happening, when it starts actually happening, it just scares the daylights out of you. When it's that stuff, it's just crazy, unbelievable. So, that's what's going on. So let's get back to the United States and what's going on with the U.S. right now. So you kind of understand why Biden is in control, the Democrats are in control, because they're going to do what they think is best. One of these days they're going to roll over in their grave and go, my God, we can't believe we did that. We can't believe we were deceived by that. But they will. They're not evil people like people are trying to make them into evil people. They're people who are duped by the enemy, thinking they have the right answer for the globe. And they're all going to fight for who can be the first one to be a part of it. And it can begins a tremendous, extremely tremendous competition of who's going to be a part of it, the intimate, details of it. And so once the Antichrist becomes the Antichrist, he becomes filled with the devil, literally, going to be Satan incarnate. Once that happens, it's going to turn the tide. and then Satan's, you know, going to really try to take over the globe, which is what he's always tried to do, except that at this point, he's going to do it with somewhat of God's approval, because it is part of the test is testing the world, the globe, to see who will trust Jesus and who will not. So God's in control of the whole thing. You think God's not in control of this? He is. Because when he tells me about it, that means he's in control of it. He tells me ahead of time what's going to happen. I know that he's in control of it. Concerned, a little queasy, and like, oh, God, this guy's yes. Absolutely, I do. Are you kidding me? I have to be super dog. You know, yeah, I get freaked out sometimes. And he's telling me. So that's what's going on. And so as the Antichrist manifests himself, then that's the phase God wants this thing to get to so that he can end this. You know, just think about this. 3.5 years of the Antichrist. I mean, 3.5 years, y'all. You know, 3.5 years ago, what were you doing? It's just like it slid by so fast, you're going like, what happened? There's going to be so much going on. It's going to slide by so fast. God's going to quicken the timing. 3.5 years is going to seem like two years. Or I don't know exactly, but, you know, I'm just talking out my mouth here. You know, it's going to be quick. And are people who have not learned to trust Jesus, this is going to be a big test for them. God's going to test them. God's going to say, you know, I gave you every opportunity. I gave you every chance. I gave you every warning. You didn't listen. You didn't take heed. You can now. And he gives them a last resort. And when they don't take that, it's because their heart has become hardened completely. And then they are given over. And the mark of the beast and all that kind of thing. But, okay, so, but Antichrist doesn't have all power and all authority. God's control the whole thing. As you know, Revelation 11, he's bringing in the two witnesses to just give them fits. They want to kill them all. The whole world wants to kill them. They were glad that when they were dead, because they were tormenting the whole globe. The whole globe was being tormented about what? Because he was trying to, they're like evangelists, prophetic prophet evangelists, so to speak. And, you know, the call of God to bring repentance. They're kind of like the blessing that they have. They bring the last big harvest in. Last final harvest. It's like John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the greatest of the old. Why? Because he brought in the last final harvest of the old. He was the greatest of the old. These two witnesses are going to be the greatest men of God of the new, if you will, so to speak, because they're going to bring in the final harvest of everything. You know, and they're part of the process. They can do plagues as often as they want. Revelation 11. 14, I think, somewhere in there, and read it yourself. And it talks about how they can do plagues anytime they want, because what's the plagues for? To hurt people? Yeah, it's the purpose of it is to bring them to God. Be able to have the power to, like Elijah, have any rain going on for a while, and causing people to start thinking maybe there is something wrong, maybe we are doing something wrong, and they start thinking about repenting. And that's what all the plagues are about. It's about repentance. And they're going to have control over all the Antichrist stuff. They're going to hinder it everywhere they go. That's why when you look at this in all reality, man, with these two guys going on, just those two guys, not everybody else, and all the other strategies God's got going on, 144,000 and, you know, a bunch more, every tongue, tribe, and nation, you know, there's going to be all kinds of strategies God's got going on. The two witnesses are going to be the main picture, the main show, because they're prophets. Yay for prophets. I shouldn't be saying yay for prophets. That doesn't sound very masculine. Yay for the prophets. Go, prophet, go. Go, prophet, go. Yeah, go, prophet, go. And so they kind of, you know, they finish it up, actually, what they do, and then Jesus comes back right after that. So they, all kinds of plagues. I don't know if you can call that wrath. I don't know what you want to call that. Yeah, I'm going to ask some of these other people about, you know, how can you not call what they do, not call it wrath? I don't know. Maybe it's not wrath. Either way, it's a mess, that's for sure. And they're going to mess up some big-time stuff with the Antichrist. All right. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate that. So that kind of put it, I like to try to put things into a nutshell so that, you know, we can start seeing it. And I'm not quoting scripture and all that, but, you know, I am quoting where the scripture is at in Revelation. Maybe you have to look it up yourself. If you're familiar with the Bible at all, you know what I'm saying is exactly right. So thank you. Yeah, and I really appreciate that. And so we are what I wanted to talk about tonight. God's been speaking to me about sex and what it's done to our nation, how it's destroyed our nation, every nation, actually. We see it with the harlot and the how they drew people into sexual sin. That's what the whore does, right? Yeah, she's cast down. It's very, very important to understand this, that this is just about, am I in sin? It's not about that. Now, if you're in sin, if it convicts you, just get it right with Jesus, man. Just bam, bam. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive me, you know, get around with God. That's all it takes. And help him, ask him to help you not do it again. Right? Yeah. You can do it. You can. If I can do it, you can do it. Yeah. And I've done it. Yeah. So, and I've done some mess ups and I've talked about it here on the show. You know, all y'all know. Try to be very honest and very open with everything about it. Unless it shames somebody else, and I will talk about it. But, okay, so sexual sin is more than just some guy getting out with a girlfriend, and, you know, maybe messing up, or then they get married and they start having sexual relationships. We're going to talk about what sex means to God and how that it what it does to you when you have sex, you know, and what God made it to do when you have sex. Surely pretty cool. I mean, when you think about the design of God, the way he makes things, it's mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. Okay, let's go back to the Antichrist thing for a second. So God is really wanting to bring that to pass. Y'all, it's like y'all are fighting that like a big dog. Yeah, because we don't think it's about America. We don't believe that America is going to go down. That ain't God. Like, you don't even understand what you're talking about. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. This is from the ignorance of some intellectual people in the Bible. It's unbelievable. Sorry, I get a little riled up. Sorry. Okay, I'm going to shift gears. Stay on the same subject, shift gears. Yeah, so, you know, when, what God's trying to do is he has to cause America to not be number one anymore. So that Europe can be number one. We may be number two, number three, number four. I don't know. But it's not that we're going to hell in a handbasket. And that's what I've already heard people coming back to me telling me that's what they're saying, that I'm saying. And I've heard one of the guys say that I'm saying that. And it's a lie from hell. That if they didn't hear it from me directly, or they just, you know, heard Randy Chandler said this and they're repeating it. For what somebody else told them. I'm not calling them a liar. I'm just saying it's a lie. That's not the point at all, because that's created a lot of fear. Greg is saying, I think that it's God, some of the two witnesses, it's God using the two prophets to disrupt people like he did to Jonah. God is going to have his way in the end. Yeah, he is. And it's true. So people are resisting this because they don't understand it. They're listening to the wrong voices again. They're listening to the people that are like trying to save America instead of understanding what God is saying that God is trying to say, I'm not trying to save America. I'm not trying to destroy America, but I'm not trying to save it. Oh, we got to save America. That's the will of God. It's not the will of God to save America, friend. I'm sorry. It's the will of God to bless America, but it's not the will of God to save America and to make America great again. That is not going to happen. Okay, period. Once the baton is passed to Europe, then I don't think the devil cares who takes over the United States, whether it's Donald Trump or me. I don't think the devil cares, because it doesn't matter anymore. Once the job is done, you know, it's not like God's trying to destroy America because it was so bad. We've done a lot of great things, y'all. We've done a lot of wonderful things, a lot of great. So you have to understand, this isn't like a judgment on America because we've been so bad. It's just a timing thing. The cup of iniquity is full, and things are moving on. And that's it. So, you know, quit harassing me in your prayer life, harassing me with your nonsense spiritually, because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to start rebuking you pretty soon if you don't stop that nonsense. And I feel it, and I know it, and it doesn't feel bad or anything. God doesn't let it hurt me or feel bad about it. I just know what's going on, and I know who they are. And believe me, like Paul the Apostle, when I get the rod of the Spirit out, when I get tired of hearing, like the woman who followed him around saying, these men are the men of God, and he finally got sick and tired of it, turned around and cast that devil out of her, I'll be doing the same thing, friend. You better watch your little mouth with your prayer life and be praying the will of God instead of the will of man and all your little buddies. Okay. I'm trying not to go there. I'm trying to shift gears, and I can tell I'm getting more worked up. Right? I know I'm getting more worked up. So this is what's going to happen, and when you understand the purpose of it, Shannon says I agree with 99% of everything you teach. Okay, thank you. Well, that's a pretty good deal, man. Not many. I don't know if I know anybody I agree with 99%. What they teach. So thank you. That's a real privilege. But, you know, so I'm not really, see, it's people, the devil, just the religious spirit through good, well-meaning people. So some of you are right here on the show. Sometimes you let that religious spirit, just like a Peter, you let that religious spirit get on you. And I feel it. I see it. When I hear your voice, I hear it, you know. And I'm not saying you're wrong, you're bad, you're evil, you're stupid, you're coming against me, you're fighting the devil. You fight me and tell me, you know, that has nothing to do with that at all. I don't care what you do. But when you start interfering with what God is doing in your prayer life and trying to mess with that, when I get full of it about it, I'm going to do like Paul the Apostle. I'm going to say, Satan, come out of that and come out now in the name of Jesus, and I will call down the fire of God on you, the harassment. Yeah, and believe me, it won't be fun for you. You think you're all that and all that? Well, I'm not all that. I know that. But I am doing God's will. And he's having a hard time finding somebody who would tell it like I tell it. I don't know anybody telling it like I'm telling it. I'm sure they are. I'm sure there's somebody out there now, but I don't know. I don't hear anybody. But to bring the understanding of what's going on with America, that God is not trying to take America down and destroy it, stomp on it. He's trying to pass the baton of being number one. As long as America's number one, Satan's not going to be cast out of the heavens. I'm just going to tell you that. Because the next step is that. After the Antichrist system begins to be set up, then Satan comes down to fulfill that setup. You see what I'm saying? So that can happen. That cannot happen with America being the greatest. We can be number two, number three, number four, and as long as we don't mess with it, we're going to be okay. We'll be all right. Quit listening to those fear-mongering bunch of wimps. I didn't mean that. I kind of did, really, actually. Fear-mongering bunch of wimps out there preaching stuff. They don't know what the heck they're talking about. My God. All right. I feel I'm getting worse. I'm starting to think I might be getting in the flesh here in a minute. So try to move on if I can. But that's what's going on. And so, you know, if we don't fight the whole thing all the time and just go, God, oh, yeah, no, we're not going to let that happen, God. God, we're not going to let that happen. No, we're not going to let that's the devil's will. And you're sitting there telling God that his will is the devil's will. Put yourself in a position, girlfriend, my brother and sister. You can put yourself in a position where, you know, it's not going to be good for you at all. Listen to what God is saying. Start understanding what God is saying. Get a hold of it and start getting ready for, that's what the preparation is true information. You got that false information, you're going to be part of the enemy's job going on. And some of us are going to die during the tribulation, but you'll be dying early. You'll be dying early for no reason. They're going to make it into this like, oh, we're just such patriots. We're just such a patriot. We're patriots. Man, patriotism ain't going to be nothing going on with patriotism. As far as, you know, in the prophetic realm, you have to say what God is saying. Let them accuse you of whatever. It's kind of fun in a way. Yeah. And the merchandising realm, it's all part of the whore, part of the harlot, part of the selling system. It's part of the world. And the reason I'm telling people to get out of that now and start transitioning into a new system is because when Biden and his crew start, you know, the one world system starts saying you can't trade anymore, you can't, you preachers, you television stations, you can't, we're not going to let you use our system anymore to sell your gospel trash. You need to have a system already set up. You need to have it set up now. That's why I'm telling you guys, get that thing going on now. Don't wait until they shut you off, and that's going to take you down. It will take you down. And you don't have to. We can have the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached while the Antichrist is doing his thing, you know, but we're going to have to play our cards right. As a prophet, I have a job to tell you. If I don't tell you, you know, God will find somebody else. Well, since I'm already in line, I might as well, you know? Yeah. All right. Did we get anything out in the open tonight? I mean, is any questions you guys have, you girls have, of what you'd like to know? Even if you hate everything I just said, it's okay. If you hate everything I just said, you're a false prophet, Randy. You're in deep deception, and whatever you think, it's okay. Just ask me questions. I really don't mind. I like the tough questions. I like the nasty ones. Nasty ones are the best. I say nasty, I mean, you know, like contradictive to what I'm saying. I call it nasty because it's contradictive to what I'm saying. Right? Not that it is nasty, but. All right, you got any questions about this? I'm saying, one of the things I'm saying is that God is not trying to take America down. He's trying to take the number one nation of the world down. Why is he trying to take a number? Because the number one nation in the world is not Europe right now. And it's got to be Europe. The European Union, whatever you want to call it, Europe, European, I don't know. Europe. It's all going to be based around Europe, not the U.S. That's why if we play our cards right, we're not going to be a part of that system, but we are going to be functioning as, you know, if we wake up and quit spending all of our money and time trying to get Trump elected and start fighting the good fight and start fighting the fight, we're going to do that later. You can get him elected, you know, once the baton is handed over, then someone else can be president of the United States, and it won't do any good because you can't make America great again. Once the baton's been handed to Europe, that's it. But if we will prepare get our systems ready, aside from the one world systems, and get our own systems going, then we can have some functioning going. It may not be quite exactly like what we have now. Of course, it won't be like that, but it can be close. I'm going to move on, but I spoke with, what's his name? Robbins. I think the guy's name. I'll talk about that later. Okay. I talked to one of these guys on TBN that does the End Time show on TBN. Irvin Baxter's son-in-law. And I talked with him personally a couple weeks ago, two or three or four weeks ago, something like that. And we had some pretty cool conversations. Yeah. So I'll tell that story later. But it revealed some things about Jim Baker. Not bad things, but some interesting things about Jim Baker. He was on Jim Baker. Somebody was on Jim Baker's show. I brought up Jim Baker in the conversation. I said, "Well, Jim Baker believes in the post-trib rapture," and he looked at me like, you know, he said his eyes got kind of big, and he looked at me and he went, "Yeah," he said, "I was on there on the show not long ago, and behind closed doors, you know, I asked him about it, just to find out for sure." And yeah, so it's interesting. And then I kidded around with him. He now runs the show, or you know, runs the show on the End Times, where Irvin Baxter used to run it. And I kidded around with him. I said, on the way up here, I was telling someone that that Donald Trump and you would make great two witnesses. He looked at me like, I mean, I did. I wouldn't lie to you. I said, Donald Trump, you and Donald Trump could be the two witnesses. And I just kind of looked at him and just to see his reaction, you know. And he just a sweet-spirited person, very nice, very kind person, and just big guy, like 6'4", something like that. He towered over me like a giant, huge. And I said, yeah, you and Donald Trump could be the two witnesses, you know. And I kind of snickered about it a little bit. And he just looked at me like, what'd you just say? You know, like, I think he thought it was pretty cool. Not that he thinks that he is, but he didn't disagree. He never said, no, that ain't going to happen. It was very interesting. And I do not think Donald Trump is one of the two witnesses. But we were talking about Donald, I said, I think Donald Trump has probably fought the system more than anybody I've ever seen. So I think him and you and him, because this guy fights the system pretty good too. I said, you and him would make good two witnesses. And I think he kind of liked that idea because he likes Trump. And anyway, it was kind of fun. I have fun with people. I think he thought I was going to be all serious and everything. I had some very serious questions about some things with him. And he invited me to come to his studio, so whatever. I don't know if I ever did or not, but yeah, he invited me to his studio. He said, come to the studio sometime and let's talk. And I went, okay, I might do that. Let's see what goes on. But anyway, that was kind of fun. I wasn't going to tell you that story, and then I went and told you anyway, so that I'm going to blabbermouth mood tonight. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of things going on. Hang on a second. Hang on just a minute here. All right, there you go. So I think I'll close it out tonight with that. Take some callers, see what's going on. All right. Yeah, Dave Robbins is the guy that I talked to, Dave Robbins. He's the guy you see on the news. I don't know if you're watching End Times on TBN. He's also on Daystar. And Dave Robbins. So Herman Baxter died November. I think he died on Election Day, actually. Really crazy. Wasn't that crazy? And then Dave Robbins took over, and so I was having a conversation with him face-to-face in a meeting. And he was a really, really nice guy. I mean, just really enjoyed him a lot. Just a sweet spirit about him. Just regular, everyday guy. Just, you know, has lots of knowledge about stuff. Been done a lot of research, you know, all kinds of things. You know, even though I agree with him on everything. I agree with him on several things. We have a lot of agreement on things. And so, yeah, he invited me to his studio. So y'all pray, you know, whether I go or not, see what goes on with all that. And, all right, let's take callers and see what's going on. 940-224, who am I talking to? Where are you from? Michael?
Michael Simsekia.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
You're pretty good.
All right, let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you just for a second. Thank you, Lord, for Michael. Father, I thank you for giving him the stamina, the backbone, the strength, the courage, like you did Joshua, and Joshua was entering into new things. We enter into new things. Sometimes our very nature goes to battle because God's getting ready to establish something new in us, and so our very nature was not used to that. It's not used to, you know, being moving forward. It's used to, you know, going up and down and up and down and up and down. And so when God starts to do, there's a battle. And so we need courage for that. So give my brother courage, God, like you did Joshua, to stand in line and receive the full inheritance that you have for him, God, that he will not come short of the glory of God in any fashion or form. And though he may have ups and downs and struggles and battles, wow, so what? Jesus, you're going to bring him through that and give him confidence to know that you are with him. In Jesus' name, you're going to bless him. You're going to give him confidence. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Michael, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good.
Tonight, what are you doing? I mean, what's on your mind? Anything particular?
I was sick the last couple of days. I'm just not getting better. But I've been feeling condemned lately because, you know, I stumbled a little bit and I've been kind of feeling condemned and just things like that.
Right. Well, when you stumble, you get up and you go again. You know, I mean, look how many times Peter stumbled. And, you know, so, yeah, fighting the working with the condemnation on that stuff is difficult. But, you know, the quicker we learn to overcome the condemnation, the quicker we move on. So that's really the best answer to that. Instead of walling around in it like I've done it many times, walling around it, you know, and you'll get it right and move on.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta learn how to get it right and move on. So you get the flu hitting you?
I think it is. I think I had the flu. Yeah. But what I was gonna say is the good thing is I guess God has reconciled me and my family members, you know, and all that. So I'm getting used to that, you know, because I'm used to. I've been avoided them the last couple of years just because of past issues and just
right.
things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
It seems
so
like
your family reaching out to you or something or what?
Oh yeah, yeah. My family's reached out to me. They congratulate me basically on. Some of the things that I've been recognized for, like recently at the car sales job, I was basically salesman of the quarter.
You're selling
so,
what you were what now? The head salesman of the quarter?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Wow. So, woo. That is awesome, man. I've been in sales before. I know what it's like to go through all the stuff of being a salesman and selling stuff. Yeah, that's really awesome, man. Congratulations.
Oh yeah.
Hang on a second. I got to sing a little song about that. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, you're doing it, Jesus. You and your man. You're doing it with Jesus. Yeah, he's your man. He's your friend. He's the lover of your soul. He's going to love and make you whole. Make you successful and blessed. Amen. You learn how to work your way through being successful because it's a whole kind of different kind of thinking. Congratulations. Hallelujah, Michael. All right, that's it. Sorry.
Amen.
But, well, that is awesome. So that was the quarter, the first quarter, you mean the first quarter of January or the first quarter?
What? It was the quarter from... I think 2022? October, November, and December. So like at the end of last year.
Oh, the third quarter.
The fourth quarter, I think.
Fourth quarter. Yee! Wow, that is awesome.
I surprised a lot of people because, you know, a lot of people were there. A lot of people didn't think I was going to make it and all this, but I ended up doing pretty good and proving a lot of people wrong, so.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'm excited about that. That's really cool. It's one thing, you know, faith without works is dead. You know, when our faith goes into action and, you know, in our job and we start being blessed in that, I mean, that's God putting things into action, but he's using you to, you know, you and him are doing partnering together on it. And, man, once you learn to partner with God and let God, you know, help you work through how to do things and stuff, man, it's amazing what can happen. So your
Amen.
Mom and dad found out about that. And were they – I mean, tell me what they said. Come on, man. Get it out in the open. It'd be awesome.
You know, they were proud of me, just things like that, you know. I guess it's a big shock for them to see me, like, I guess, steady and, you know, and not having my ups and downs and, you know, just things like that.
Yeah. What's a shocker, man. When I got saved, when I went from, when I went from being a flaky bird, you know, to a solid community person and all that kind of stuff, I mean, my mom and dad were going like, what happened to you, boy? You've never been like that before. I mean, they were in shock. They thought they didn't know what was going on. They thought I needed some help. Like, you can't change that quick, you know, without what you must have just broke or something. But they were wrong. Jesus helped me.
Amen. Yep. And then, that's it pretty much. I do have a court case coming up and I'm being falsely accused and this woman trying to say that her kid is my kid and I haven't seen this woman in years. So I guess a messy situation.
Right. Well, DNA tests settle that pretty quick. And if it's your kid, it's your kid. If it's not your kid, it's not your kid. If it's your kid, then God will help you do it. And if it's not, then that'll take care of it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's why I filed my answer for a DNA test, you know. But then the other party they're trying to get it to where it's my kid without me doing a DNA test. And I'm like, that in itself is kind of shady.
It's illegal. Yeah.
But,
really, I don't know if it's illegal or not. But
yeah,
I have an attorney in my family. I'll ask him any particular questions I need to ask him about that to get back with you on.
Just like can they possibly, if there's no proof that the kid is not yours and you haven't even signed the birth certificate, can they even prove that it's your kid?
Right. In other words,
Yeah.
Can they force it on you without it being your kid?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Pretty much.
And, yeah, I'm going to be seeing him probably in a few days, but or I can just text him and ask him that question. But, yeah, I'll find out about that for you, and maybe we can get a little strategy going on.
Yeah, that would be a big help.
Okay, I'll ask him that tonight, maybe later on. I'll text that question to him and then see what he says. And you're in the state of Texas, right? I mean, this is Texas.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think the case is
taking place in like somewhere in Dallas, Texas, apparently. But
okay.
Nah. Yeah. But,
so they're saying it's your kid without even having any kind of DNA proof or anything. That's just, you know, if it's your kid, it's your kid. You know, if it's not, it needs to be not yours. You know, that ought to be just that simple. But I'll find it from him and so we'll get going on that.
Yes, sir.
And you've never signed any documents that it's your child, right?
No, never signed any documents.
Okay.
I didn't even know about the kid until like recently after being served at my job out of nowhere. And I'm like, what? But
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they smell that money. There's money in the water. They're smelling some money. Show me that money. I need some money. I don't know. But,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we believe I'll talk to him about that. He'll know for sure. So.
And then, outside of that, you know, I just want to pray that God just gives me strength to continue to press on and to continue to do His will and to continue to walk into all that He has for me, basically.
Are you off work because of your sickness, or?
Yeah, I was off today because I was sick. Yeah. I went to work sick and got off early because I was sick.
Okay. Yeah, we might want to get tested and go to CVS and get it over with and just, you know. I didn't get tested until I had it for like over a week or so, thinking it was something else. So. But, you know,
yeah,
I don't really feel bad. I just don't really feel good. That's been my thing, is I've never felt really bad. I have weakness days, you know, where I feel weak. I go out and try to walk around a little bit, I feel weak. I go on walks and do all different kinds of things. So I'm not, but it hits everybody a little bit different, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
All right, man. I'll try to get back with you on that legal information, an attorney. And we'll see what we can do about that.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he'll probably say what documents you need to file and what things to counteract and to stop it and dead in its tracks. Have you already filed? You say you already filed I forget what you call it,
I filed the answer to the first document I got, but then I got another thing in the mail today and all that. Yeah.
Are they requesting a DNA test from you?
No. It's a document that they are trying to petition that I am the father.
Okay.
And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, what? Yeah.
Well, if they're not petitioning you to get a DNA test, I mean, I'm not an attorney, but that tells you a lot that, you know, she doesn't know whose baby it is. So once you offer your DNA, then it'll be a done deal. But, yeah. Okay. Very interesting. All right, anything else we can pray about?
That'd be it.
Okay. Well, heavy, high congratulations on your mom and dad. Congratulating you and happy for your success, what you're having right now. That's so awesome, man. So proud of you, dude. That is so amazing. The grace of God and just, you know, you're going to make mistakes, man. You're going to go up and down. You're going to have mistakes. When you start prospering and being blessed, you know, you're going to have mistakes you're going to make, and you learn to work your way through them and, you know, and just keep going on. That's why Jesus said, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Whatever that sin is, it could be a little sin, big sin. You know, we have an advocate with the Father, and we get forgiveness, and we go on. And so that's it. So let's pray for you about that, and then I'm going to mute you. And hey, man, congratulations on all this stuff.
Thank you.
I'll be getting in contact with you with the illegal information from an attorney. Okay, bye-bye. All right, let's pray for Michael tonight. We thank you, Jesus, for Michael. We thank you, Lord, for your love for him, Father. Thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, God, that convicts him, that draws him to know what to do and how to do it. Convict means to be convinced. When you convince him that you're with him, when you convince him that you're working with him, and we just be honest with you and be upfront with you. Don't play games. What the devil does, he gets us to hide things, and then he takes those little hiding things, and he makes us look like we're trying to hide something. And then when he shows we're hiding something, if he can expose us and make us look like we're hiding something when we are, if we are hiding something, then it makes us look corrupt, makes us look like hypocrites, and then our testimony just goes down the window. So as long as we keep up front with God and be honest with him, the devil can't get in there with, you know, that's why we confess our sins, get things out in the open. And then we go from there with God. Let God show you how to move past it, move on, and keep moving on. All right. In Jesus' name, help him, God. Strengthen him. Give him your glory. Give him your manifest presence in Jesus' name. Oh, 637. You really like that stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah. That was good.
You're crazy like me.
Huh? There's a reason for that.
There's a reason for that. It's all in the blood of the Lamb. Anyway, I'm not the singer, but why don't you sing something for us? Sing something real quick.
Oh, gosh. I would love to, but yeah, I don't really have the voice for it.
Okay. All right. Well, I gave you a chance for Fame. Dude, you just missed it.
Can I take it back?
Well, you can. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. What do you want to hear? Oh, no.
Whatever. How about Jesus? I don't know.
Lover of my soul.
I love that one. Yes, do that one.
All right.
You can do it, bro. Right into the microphone.
All right. Jesus, lover of my soul.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I don't know where it goes from there. I remember the line about the miry clay.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. See, I blew it.
Well, I mean, you stepped out by faith, man. You can't blow it. You step out by faith. It was good. Really good. Yeah. All right. So you said no, and then you turned around and you said yes. I like that. Some people say yes, and then they turn around and say, no, I'm not going to do it. But you didn't. You said, no, I'm not going to do that. And then you start Jesus even had a guy who did that. Yeah. What?
Yeah. That was a, I don't know if, I don't think it was a parable, but the one son that said no and ended up doing what he was asked to do. And then the one son said yes and didn't do it.
He said, which one did the will of the Father? The one who said, I'm not going to do it, and did it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's you tonight, man.
Didn't matter how he felt.
Huh?
It didn't matter how he felt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
He did what he knew he was supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, pretty interesting. So tell me, what did you get out of tonight? I mean, anything stick out particular through all that talk about?
Oh, man, Randy, there's, like, little things, like, throughout your whole talk that, I was picking up on, and they just had application to, you know, just things in my own life. You know, it was awesome.
Right.
Even your last conversation.
Cool. With Michael?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just
Michael
like the part about not staying under, you know, under condemnation. Just,
right.
Yeah. Getting right back up.
Right. Right. Well, the way we usually have a hard time getting out from underneath condemnation is when we keep doing it over and 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 over. Then it makes it hard. The more you do it, the more difficult it is, because something in you is saying, you don't really care about Jesus. You don't really care about walking with, you know, and the more that lie starts, you know, when you start believing that, you know, so it's good, you know, we're going to mess up, and I've messed up a few times on things, and it was hard to get through the condemnation. You know, it was difficult, but, you know, but it's a life stopper, man. I mean, condemnation is a life killer. It's to stop you dead in your tracks. And
yeah,
we don't know how to deal with it. Yeah.
The devil knows what he's doing. He's been doing this a long time.
Right. You know, God uses condemnation too. They both use it. It's a very powerful tool. You know, the Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You shall condemn it. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall. So God uses condemnation to condemn things. It's a very powerful thing, but Satan uses the same thing too. He condemns us. That's why it says there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. You know, but we have to come to him when we do something and we're feeling condemned about it, feeling, you know, like, God, you know, what's going on here? Sometimes part of helping getting through things is understanding why you're doing it. You know, and some ways to overcome why we do things is to figure out, like, are we watching certain kind of television programs that might be stirring that up? Are we, you know, letting thoughts come in and not stopping them before they, you know, create a, you know, an out of control passion? You know, you learn how to get things under control, but, you know, some things like sex, you know, sex is a very, we're going to talk about sex, I think, tomorrow night. Sex is a very, it's a God-given thing. It's a human thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a God-given thing. God gave the power for every person to want sex and to have sex. It's a God thing. So to learn how to deal with that and, know about it, know why it does you the way it does you, and once it traps you and gets you going the wrong direction with it, man, sex can be a real bondage. I mean, it can be a real glorious blessing. It's God-given and all that. But, boy, it can be a real trap and hold people trapped forever, you know, unless they get set free of it. But, you know, some things that are just natural God-given things. You know, the reason I brought that up is because, you know, that's kind of what Michael was talking about. You know, one of the things he was saying there. But yeah, the sex realm is so, you know, when you're married, it's just a normal thing. You don't think of it as like, oh, I shouldn't do this, I can't do that. You know, it's a God-given thing. It keeps you intimate with your wife. It keeps you intimate with your husband. You know, it keeps you intimate. And there's so much to it. We're going to talk about that pretty soon, why it's so important to understand it. And then once you understand it, it'll start helping you not to yield to it so easily.
Well, I can definitely see the patterns in my own decision-making, you know, like
right.
The things that I've done, like the cyclical things, you can start to recognize the patterns, and you were right on about, you know, like, what are you doing? Are you doing something you're not, you know, like you, what was it in the Old Testament where it talked about the people didn't get rid of the high places, like they repented, they started to get right with God, but they didn't get rid of the high places. It's like those small things, the little foxes.
Yeah, that's a really good way to say that. I like that. Like they didn't get rid of all the things that activate, you know, like I forget what they in the sexual arena, they had what they called sex poles, you know. They'd put them everywhere because it was kind of like to the god of sex, you know. Because some, you know, God is not against sex because he created it, but he does give us rules with it so that we don't get in bondage to it and make it something evil. And so Satan has ways of trying to get people in bondage to it by, you know, pornography, or back in the days of the Old Testament, they had those, I can't even think what you called them, they were sex poles. And they were there as a, you know, thing to activate sexual desire, you know. And if you don't believe, if you think you can just have sex with anybody you want to, anytime you want to, as long as they want it, you want it, you think you can do that anytime you want, then you go look at the pole and go, oh, yeah, you know, and you go off and go at it. You know, that's Satan getting people into bondage, and the world has no clue what they're getting themselves into. So, but
right.
God set rules and boundaries around it for a reason, and it's so powerful.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you read it in the Bible, and it's like a union, but I don't think we really realize what happens in the spirit realm with all of that. And
Paul says, but
I was just going to say, I'm not going to like express a doctrinal belief, but there are things that are needs and there are things that are wants. And, you know, I mean, God, he made the two for a reason. So I think it might be one of those areas in your life where you actually need it, like that level of, you know, intimacy.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, you do. And once you get it activated, once you get the sexual thing activated in your life, then it's hard to just shut that off. Like you've been married for 10 years, you know, and you're having sex regularly with your wife or your husband, and then all of a sudden you're divorced. Well, that's just like, woo, man, you just, you know, it gets crazy. And I've dealt with this in counseling, and it's a very difficult thing for people, and people get under condemnation, and the devil just uses that to, that's why God, one of the reasons God hates divorce, because he hates it that all of a sudden you ain't going to be having sex no more. You know, he knows what that's going to do to you. Because you get, it's a need you have, you know. And once that's cut off, brother, it can mess you up. I mean, that's one of the reasons God hates it, is because of what it does to people. Compromise.
Mess you up and all the people around you, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We're going to talk about this in the next few days, however God gives me the grace. But I want to talk about it tonight, but I also want to talk about the end times in America. So when I talk about America, I don't know what's your general view of what you've heard over the years of what's going to happen to America? You know, what's been your view of that? It's going to go to hell in a handbasket? To your teachings.
You know, I can't say, like, the outcome as far as, like, where we're headed and what's going to happen, but I have been listening to you intently, and I was actually going to send you a Bible verse. It's in, like, Joshua? Anyway, these angels were approaching, and they said, are you for us or against us? And they said, neither. So that should be anybody's opinion spiritually over their own country. So, we're citizens of a kingdom, and that kingdom is not of this earth. So it really, either way, it doesn't matter. So whether America lives or dies, it has no bearing on what God wants to do. So whatever. Yeah. I mean, the worst things get, it seems like that's when God starts moving on a more radical, supernatural level.
Right. So in Joshua 5:13, it says that now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us? Are you for us or for our enemies?
There you go.
Yeah, let me look at this. Hang on, I gotta be going to this. What verse was that? 5:13. Yeah, this is the way people. I'll be honest with you, bro. This is the way people treat me. They're like, "Are you for us or against us?" Like as a prophet, I have to be on their side or something. You know, like, we're going to know whose side you're on.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally have people tell me just a couple days ago, we don't know whose side you're on. You're not on our side. Literally. I mean, I would tell you who it was, but I wouldn't even embarrass them. But it's like, you know, whose side are you on? I'm going like, well, I'm not on anybody's side. When you get a word from God about something, you get a word from God about it. What do you mean to do? Just change, say God didn't say that when God said it? You mean to lie for you?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm held accountable for God.
Don't want to get in trouble with the boss.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's
no.
That's
I've come across that, Randy, in churches. I've come across that. It might not have been as obvious because you're what your ministry is, but you come across that. But it's like I just here to say it. I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord if the Lord didn't say it. So, and yeah.
Well, they want you to be on their side. We have an opinion, and if we think this is what's supposed to happen, if you're not on our side, then you're not of God. I'm going like, are you for us? It's the same thing. Are you for us or for our adversaries? And then verse 14, so he said, no. And like you said, the commander of the army of the Lord said, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord of the army said to Joshua, take your sandals off. The place you stand is holy. And so he did so. But that's the thing that I deal with. You deal with this as a prophet. I deal with it because of the realm I'm in politically. No, I don't get it much on financial, but just mainly on the political arena, especially with Trump. And if you're not on their side, it's like, you're on our side or you're on their side. Like, I've got to be on one side or the other. I'm not on either one of y'all's side. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. As a prophet, I'm a prophet. And I'm not a patriot first. I'm a prophet first. Of course, I love my country. I hope I wish America would, I'm believing God for America to do good even after it passes the baton to Europe. You know, it doesn't have to crash and burn unless we are a bunch of idiots and don't prepare for it. If we prepare for it, we'll be ready. But the problem is people are so blinded by this, whose side are you on? They're not even listening to what I'm saying. They're totally either lying or outright lying, or they're just misquoting because somebody told them I said something I didn't say. You know, and I'm talking about Hank Kuntermann. Hank Kuntermann is one of them, you know. Like I don't know if somebody just told him a bunch of bull or what. Or I don't know what they told him. But he's repeating stuff. He don't have a clue what he's talking about. And so, you know, I'm not against any of these people, but it's that they say this stuff not even knowing what the heck they're talking about.
Well, that's a scary place for anyone to be in, you know.
It's not nice. It's not good. God only deals with people according to their motives. If their motives become evil, then God will deal with them as an evil person. But if their motives are just like, you know, a little kid trying to, you know, be sassy, he's not going to be doing anything to do, you know. It's their motivation. And he doesn't allow anybody to stop his word going forth. If you're trying to stop his word from going forth, then he will stop you one way or the other. He will stop you. It's hard to find prophets. It's hard to find people who will say what God's saying when it's contrary to what everybody else is saying. That's why God protects me so much. And I've told a few little stories, but I haven't told the big ones. I got some big ones, man, where God protected me, not because I'm Mr. Holy Roly. You know, I live a righteous life. God's been good to me, and he helps me, and I confess my sins. I get him even out openly, you know, so to be a good example of that. But, you know, he protects me, man. And so that's why I tell people tonight, you get that prayer thing going on, harassing me, I'm getting tired of it. I feel that harassment, and I'm fixing to kick that thing in the kabuchi pretty soon if you'll stop it. And, yeah, I'm not going to let you harass me with your, whose side are you on? You know, like, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Like, well, I
Joshua,
mean,
at least Joshua
look,
yielded
look
to
at
it.
What God said to Ezekiel, you know, you deliver the word that I'm giving you to deliver. And if you don't deliver what I tell you to deliver, their blood I'll require at your hands. So you're stepping into a realm of responsibility. You don't just go around, you know. If God gives you a negative word, you deliver a negative word. that's all a prophet does. You hear what God says, and you say what God told you to say.
You say it. And I try to be gracious to people. I try to explain it to people so they understand. Hopefully they're going to understand. But sometimes when they're vented against you already, they're just vented against you, and then the only thing I can do is hoping that God has mercy on them and doesn't mess with their stuff, because I've seen him mess with people's stuff big time. And only
I don't even know what is that all about. Like, why are people so insistent on, I don't know if they're trying to marry the flesh with the spirit, you know what I mean? Like, insistent on their own way. Like, you have to almost be lying to yourself to not be able to, if you hear God speak to you and you know it's from God and you do what God tells you to do, then you're fine, you're safe, everything's good. But I don't understand the manipulation of trying to twist things. Like, people are trying to build their own kingdom, like their own ministry, or like you were talking about Trump and America. But
people just believe, like, you know, that you see the thing going on right now, the Trump thing. We have a lot of PGM people who just love Trump. I love Trump. I voted for Trump. I like Trump. You know, but when God spoke to me that was it for him, and now once America hands over the baton, or however they do it, to Europe, then it's not going to matter who has America. The devil don't care about America no more. I mean, God doesn't care about America anymore as far as, you know, like he's trying to take it down, because, you know, God's not trying to take America down. He's trying to take down the nation that's number one, because America just happens to be the number one nation. That's hindering him from taking the next step, and that is basically some of the major things is casting Satan down out of heaven to the earth, and then when the Antichrist manifests, you know, he's going to be able to deal with the devil forever, man. That's the process, but they don't believe that that's going to happen. I think they think that's just somehow way off in the future, and so they don't want to believe that, like, they're going to believe it live. I believe in it. That's why they're stubborn. It's not because they're bad people, because they really don't believe that the timing is now. Timing is a big thing of works, like the rapture people. There's a lot of people have had, 88 ways, 1888, the guy who said there's going to be a rapture.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Remember that one? Yeah.
Yep.
You know, so when you hear that a few times, stuff like that, and I'm not talking about there's going to be a rapture. I'm just talking about, you know, we're at that place. So I'm not trying to get people to get ready to go. I'm trying to get ready to go through. So my whole motivation is completely different. But the Lord is saying that he wants to get people ready. He wants to get people ready for what's about to happen. And what were we going to say? But now I got lost what I was going to say.
You started saying the Lord's – I don't know if you said what the Lord's saying or he's preparing
people for.
For.
They're convinced that the timing. They really don't think it's time. So if I'm wrong, because, you know, we know that the Bible that what I'm saying is going to happen, most of it is going to happen sometime in the future, right? Whether it's 1,000 years from now or next week, you know. But I think they're struggling with believing that it is happening now. They don't really think they don't want it to happen now. And they don't really think it's happening now, so they think that I'm deceived because I'm saying it's working now.
Nah,
so that's why they're so stubborn and trying to resist it. Like you were saying, how can they be marrying the flesh? I don't know what they're trying to marry, but I do know that, you know, if they don't believe something, they're going to fight you. So, I mean, that's what's going
to
happen.
Well, I told you this before. You know, I was raised in the Catholic Church. Then I went to Baptist High School and Baptist College. And we used to talk about this stuff when I was in high school. And I really appreciate the Baptists, because that put a foundation in me. But a lot of the things they read in Revelation, I mean, the technology didn't exist when I was
right.
in high school in the late 80s. And then I can't unsee it. I mean, it's right there in your face. It is happening.
Yeah.
And there is a global push to make this system come about. And people
yep.
hear things like the global reset mentioned, and they just think it's, we're going to go from, I don't know, Randy. I've seen things, being a truck driver, I've been all over the nation, and I saw stores all over the country, you know, like gas stations, saying due to the national coin shortage, we ask that you use your debit card or exact change. And I'm thinking, so who's hoarding all the coins? Where did the coins just disappear to? So, you know, there are signs, there are
yeah.
things happening,
yeah.
and it is coming.
Oh yeah.
And I'm in agreement
the way
with
they
you.
Look
You're
at
not
it,
off.
They look at it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying I'm in agreement with you. Where you're not off on the timing. It's here.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I think most people think there's definitely a timing thing that has shifted, but I don't think that America, that using the Patriot thing, that America is, you know, we are not going to let America go down. Well, you know, God's going to take America to a place that's going to allow it not to be number one anymore. whatever you want to call that, whatever you want to say about that, that's what's going to happen whether you like it, whether I like it or not. I mean, you think I'd like that? I live in America. I live here. I like having money, and I like having blessings, and I like having it. Are you kidding me? I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
But they're totally going from fear to fear. Oh God, the whole nation. I heard Hank Kuttiman say it. Well, just this prophet, he said that America's going to go down. We're going to be living in soup kitchens, and so they just take it from, you know. I just kind of like these fear-mongering preachers. They're starting to really tick me off, honestly, starting to get really ticked off with these guys because they take people to – it's for their ministry. You know, they want to keep them listening to them. So what are they doing? They keep them in a fear mode. Well, you know what? That prophet said that he thinks Biden's okay. You're going to think America's going to go down. We're going to be going down to the ground. We're going to be like some third-world country. I never said that. Shut your mouth, brother. Keep your mouth closed until you know what somebody's saying. Going out loud because you know what's going to happen with that. It's not that it messes with me that much, but when it's going to mess with you, it's going to come back and haunt you. And you're going to regret that. So,
well,
you are.
Whenever I pay attention and whenever I hear somebody say that God told me this and then it doesn't come to pass, I move on, you know, and I've been listening to you for years.
All right, cool.
Whatever. I mean, that's what I, you know, I said that earlier. I don't know what they're trying to, is he just trying to keep his, you know, finances rolling
confused,
in?
Confused,
you know, what is that all about?
They're panicking, they're freaking out. They're trying to say they listen to me and then they go listen to people like Hank and others. You know, Hank's a nice guy. Hank is a great, given his wife, they're wonderful people. There's nothing wrong with them. They just have the spirit. They have that religious spirit on them it has a tongues with it. And I believe they're saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they're prophets. I think that I'm not saying they're not. But what they've done is they've connected into the fear mongering. And they to counteract what God is saying, the very people trying to be prophets and say what God is saying are counteracting what God is saying by promoting fear. Oh, you know that prophet is saying that Biden's okay? You know, the Biden's good? You know, America's going to go down. We got a third world country. We ain't going to let that happen. I'm going like, that has nothing to do with anything that was said. My Lord and my God, help us, Jesus. Oh, I really get worked up about it, but...
Well.
But at the same time, kind of fun.
There's a...
Okay.
I floated around in a lot of church circles, and there's a story that circulates about some Chinese from the underground Chinese church came to America, and they gave them a tour of, you know, facilities, different Christian organizations. And their comment was, we're amazed at what you've been able to accomplish without the leading of the Holy Spirit. they knew. So
yeah,
I don't pay attention to people who are talking about, you know, America staying strong. It's just the focus is all wrong if that's what you're promoting.
Yeah, we've done a lot of things, and I was part of that system too. So, you know, I was part of that system. I was part of the brothers. I believed in that system for years, and I'm kind of like, in a sense, like Moses, because Moses was, even though he was a Jew, he was raised among all the Egyptians. You know, he knew their stuff. He knew their witchcraft. He knew about their, you know, their sound. He knew all their stuff, the snakes and all the stuff about everything. And, you know, so he get caught out of that system, and then God sits him back into it. So that's kind of what's happened to me is, like, I was in that system of merchandising. It was just the way we did things, man. I just like everybody. People tell me when they argue with me, but when they say they don't agree with me, oh, that's just the way. How are we going to make money? That's the way we make money. But we got to make money by what the Bible says we make money, not while we decide to make it. It's got to be by the Word of God. You know, like we can just decide what to do, how we're going to do something. It's not in the Bible at all. And so and because they do that, they've opened themselves up to, you know, compromise, and I mean,
yeah,
all kinds of
there
things
you
go. Go down because of
you were telling me that story, and I was thinking about Keith Green, and that book about his life was called No Compromise. I don't know if you know about him, but I always
Keith
looked
Green?
Up to that guy. Keith Green.
Oh, Keith Green. Yes, of course, Keith Green.
Yeah.
The
piano player, yeah.
Keith Green didn't sell, you know, Keith Green didn't sell his music?
Yeah, he wanted to give it away for free, and they tried
gave
to get
it away
him to sell
for free.
It. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I heard the story about that. And the system didn't like him. Woo, Lord. And, brother, he was powerful, man. He's still powerful to this day. This was, what little bit he had then. Mm-hmm.
They weren't ready for him.
They were not ready for him.
He was ahead of his time for sure. But, yeah, I think in these last days, God's going to raise young people up like never before. And they won't pay the price that a lot of the old-timers paid. They'll be given things.
Well,
you know,
the problem with a lot of the young people these days is they're going to have to be separated out from watching their parents be merchandisers, their preacher parents be merchandisers, and it's just normal for them. When you're raised up with if you were raised up with fornicating was normal, you know, the church thought it was normal, it's going to be hard to get you to change your mind about that. You know,
right?
If you were raised in a house where smoking was normal, you were Christians. Y'all believed in smoking. You thought smoking was cool. You like to preach and smoke. So you raise your kids with that. Your kids, it's going to be very difficult for them to understand that thing is wrong. It's the same thing with merchandising.
Yeah.
They've been raised with it. People always say, "Oh yeah, we raised all these people up." Yeah, you raised them, and you taught them how to sell books and merchandise, and it is sad because now they're going to be doing what you couldn't do, or they're going to try to do it. And I think God's going to shut the door before they can try it. But He's going to shut.
Yeah.
That's what He's doing right now. He's getting ready to shut the doors on all of it, where they can't legally do it. So anyway, that's why I keep telling them, you better get another system, and when you do, don't be merchandising. All right, man. Anything else?
Well, yeah, if you don't mind praying for me, that'd be great.
Oh, pray for you. Okay. Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to mute you. Hang on just a second. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back, Greg. Sorry about that. All right. I'm going to prophesy over you, pray over you. Thank you, God, for my brother tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you for the covering in his life, God. You're covering him, showing what covered means, being covered means. How to walk in your covering, how to be covered by the Lord, and how to, you know, walk in that practicality of that, how to live in it, how to dwell in it. And, because covering is everything. Covering is. You know, our coverings have to do with even the information that we let download to us. Like, you know, like what do you get on your computer? What do you let download on your computer? What information do you download? What are you looking for? What vein of revelation do you have? A lot of that has to do with your covering. Your coverings, you know, makes a lot of difference on the vein of revelation that you walk in. And so, so it's really, really huge. And when you understand that, then you start believing God to bring you your covering. Yeah. You know, Christ is our ultimate covering, no doubt about it. And then God brings people and friends and ministries and belief systems, if you will. And we kind of come under the canopy of that. As God guides you, then it becomes your covering. And there's a lot of coverings that are going to be taken away when Job's, like I say, Job's, Satan said, I can't really touch him because you got a edge of protection around him. God said, okay, well, I'll remove it. He removed it. And so we're going to see a lot of hedges that people have formed with God over the years that are transitioning to a whole other level of, you know, God dealing with us, God speaking to us. And a lot of hedges are going to be removed. And, yeah, so it's going to create some real testing and proving of people so that they will know what they're made of. Like, you know, Job, you know, says, yet though you slay me, yet will I praise you. You know, his head's protection, his canopy, his protection, his covering, his, you know, God was his covering. Sometimes God allows those coverings to be removed to see, to take us to a whole other level. So, anyway, I kind of don't know where I was going with that one, but I did. Not even sure what that was. Interesting. Okay, let's go here to 804-218. Who am I talking to, Ray Fun, please?
Angie.
Yes. Angie?
Oh, I had to pull you off the house speaker, you know. You know, I got all kinds of gizmos and gadgets to keep me occupied.
You got that place, so you need to just open it up as a studio or something.
Yeah, that's right. I have the sound blasting everywhere.
Yeah, you're cleansing the heavenlies and the earthlies, and the heavenlies. You're just cleaning everything. There you go.
I need to be a better cleaner though. But when I clean, all I right. like to really do it right.
You get crazy with it like I do. Yeah, I don't clean it often, but boy, when I do, man, it's like, what? Get out of the way! Here I come.
That's right.
Good to have you tonight.
Okay.
And Angie from Virginia. Thank you, Angie from Virginia. Thank you, God, for the voice of God. You know, what is this? Woohoo! Whatever that was. Yep. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for Angie tonight, Father, and what is that? One second. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, I had a sound a minute ago because I went and took a little, had to do a little thing. So that's what I was doing. Sound went off. All right. So thank you, Jesus, for Angie tonight, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the voice of God. I just feel like, you know, I don't understand this, but, you know, when John Revelator knew Jesus in the earth, you know, they were friends, very close to Jesus. And when he saw Christ in the vision, when the Holy Spirit was showing him Christ, he saw him, he didn't look the same at all. He had a completely different look to him. He had white hair, Jesus knew he had brown hair or whatever. And, So he saw Jesus in a completely different fashion. In other words, God was trying to tell John that the glorified Christ is going to be different, going to sound different. He's going to come back different. When he comes back, he's going to come back, you know, like we see in the book of Revelation, he's going to come back as a conqueror. He's not coming back as a humble servant. He's coming back as a conqueror. And so God is transitioning. God is transitioning the way he speaks, like, where did sweet, gentle Jesus go? Well, he's still sweet, gentle Jesus, but he's now the, you know, being really upfront about things, Jesus, you know, He's speaking plainly. He's not speaking in parables too much, you know, so to speak. Parables are always a part of the kingdom messages, but he's speaking very directly. So we're going to see a different change in the voice of God. Angie, that's what we're speaking to you. So get ready, because the old Jesus that we know is glorious and amazing as he was and is. He's different, and he's transitioning into different now. He's transitioning into getting ready to – that just sounds so crazy, doesn't it? I know we know God killed people in the Old Testament. Kenneth Copeland tried to kind of like do away with that. I love you, Kenneth, but that was really messed up teaching. And, you know, that God is a good God and he would never, you know, do anything bad to anybody. You know, like, well, we try to make God into a man. You know, Kenneth Copeland tried to make God into a man. In that area, he has a lot of great teachings. But in that area, he tried to make God into a man, a good man, instead of a good God. So he totally, totally messed that up, brother. Big time. And I tried to go for it, but it just never quite fit for some reason, because I would keep reading the Bible, thank God. So as you keep reading the Bible, my friend, so you're going to begin to see Christ. You're going to hear Christ speaking in a little bit different tone, you know, a little bit more to the point, a little bit more explaining things. He's not going to. He knows that people are not going to understand his ways, like what's going on in America right now. The way I explained this tonight, he knows most people are not going to get that. Most people are not going to understand that. And so, you know, he has a prophet who's talking about it anyway and understands that people are just people, and he can forgive them and love them and move on. But also, you know, they do attack. You know, they attack. It's like sometimes I feel these little daggers trying to dagger my, you know, in my toes and my leg and my ankles and my leg. Is that all you got, man? Your little prayers, like, that's it? Like, after a while, it gets to be a harassment, and I get sick of it, and, you know, want to just kind of, like, deal with it. So, probably will pretty soon. But we're going to start seeing God, you know, deal with things in ways. His voice is going to declare it. We're going to have to recognize that the voice of, that John had to recognize the new Jesus. He's not a different Jesus. He's just had a completely different look. And yet he's the same Messiah, same Savior, same Lord. So get ready for that. And when you transition with what God's doing, then you move into the glory of that moment. You move into the glory of that understanding. You move into the glory of it. And therefore, the glory never goes away, but it just changes in its manifestation. Amen. All right. So what's going on over there? And Virginia.
I don't know. We went everywhere with that one. Actually, I think you were saying, this is what I got out of it, is that there's a side of God that we have yet to discover.
Yeah.
Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, we haven't seen it in our generation, but it's in the Bible. It always has to be in the Bible, somehow, some way or another. So it's in the Bible, but our generation has not seen it, no.
Okay. And the voice is going to change? Is that what I understood?
You know, it's like his voice changes in his tone. Like, I love everybody. Now it's like, I love you, but get it right with God. You know, kind of a thing. Like Paul.
Oh, yeah, that...
Yeah. So can you imagine somebody, if I told you, Angie, that somebody, hey, man, I would call you up and I would say, hey, I heard this great prayer today. This guy, he's a mighty man of God. I've never heard him before. He says, this guy was in some sin. And he says, I'm going to give him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, for the saving of his soul. I'm going to give him over to Satan. He said over to Satan. It was an amazing prayer. You know, most people are going to be going like, I bind that up. That ain't God. That ain't God. But, you know, Paul the Apostle did that. People can't comprehend the severity when God gets ready to save a soul and save them from hell. what he goes to. He said he's going to. I'm going to give him over to Satan. I mean, who in the world ever pray a stupid prayer like that? Paul the apostle.
Yeah. Okay. I understand what you're saying. I got you.
So if I told you about that prayer, and you said no, that's the devil, man. Yeah, I've never heard anybody pray a man of God ever pray. You know, going to give that person over to Satan as a Christian. Give them over to Satan for their sucking the slip. I mean, you don't ever get any people over to Satan. You would never get anybody over to Satan. You know, see, because it doesn't make any intellectual sense with our Christianity today.
Theology. With our theology of today. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I just had to go through something very similar to that. Just let go.
Oh.
So, yeah.
All right.
Well, it's okay.
That's your pee picking heart.
Yeah. So when you want the best, but the best might not be what you thought it was.
When you want to be what?
Anyway, I said you want the best, and you know, bless you on the way in, bless you on the way out, kind of deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and don't mention the curses.
Coming and going.
Yeah, because God ain't going to curse nobody. I mean, these days, you know, you hear, and I love Kenneth Copeland, and I think people don't really believe me that I love him, but I really do because I watched him minister for years, and I like his spirit. I like his. But there's some of the things that he taught that I listened to over and over and over and over and over again. I know what he was teaching, and he would say he tried to make God into a human being, a good God, a good grandpa, good old grandpa, good daddy, you know. And in some way, some of his teachings, a lot of his teachings were great, but in that particular area, and so I would read the Bible and go, but how can you say God didn't do that when God said he did it? You know, it just wasn't making any sense to me. And so we live with the Kenneth Copeland Christianity, so to speak, most people do, even though they may not like Kenneth Copeland, they still live with that mentality that God would never, we don't have the curses, we have the blessings. But God says, if you do what I say, I will bless you. If you don't do what I say, I'm going to curse you. I mean, he said that. That wasn't the devil. But people don't want to hear that.
Why? All right. I get it.
Yep. So they're living under a curse, and they're trying to figure out where this curse came. They're taking authority over the devil. Devil, I bind this curse. And stuff. You can't curse me in the name of Jesus. You can't curse me in Jesus' name. It's like the whole time their disobedience to God, direct, willful disobedience to God, not mistakes, not failures, not that stuff, direct, willful disobedience to God, you know, where you know, it's wrong. I'm not talking about mistakes and failures and that kind of thing. And you can't figure out why you're under a curse. Well, it ain't the curse of the devil, man. It's the curse of God, because that's what he said, if you're a believer. And that's hard to swallow for a lot of people. And the Lord told me, he said, that's why I say in the voice change, we're going to hear this voice change. He's going to be going like, yeah, bless you with all these blessings, but also I will curse you with all these curses. It won't be the devil cursing you. I will be doing it because I protect my stuff. I am in control of all this stuff. Are you crying or laughing or what are you doing back there? Oh, she's gone. I lost her. Disappeared. She doesn't call back pretty quick. I'll take another caller. People that are always telling people every time they mess up, God's going to curse them. I think it's a bunch of bull. God's not going to curse you because you made mistakes over and over again. It's when you deliberately, willfully disobey him. That's a whole different thing than it is making a mistake or even sinning. Failing. God's not going to curse you. He's trying to help you and forgive you. But if you're deliberately and willfully disobeying him, that's what the Bible says. So we got to get a hold of that and stay up underneath any kind of curse of any kind. You know, and then there's a whole realm of devil curses and demonic curses and all that stuff. There's a whole realm for all that, too. We'll talk about that sometime. But we're talking about Christians and godly people. All right, 111, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please? Hang on, it's not working. 111. Hello?
Randy. Hi.
Hi,
Barbara.
It's Barbara.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Barbara, let's pray for you.
Enjoy the work.
Oh, thank you so much. Let's pray for you, and then we'll talk for a little bit here. So you thank you, Jesus, what's going on? You know, building borders, you know, with God. God builds borders. He says there's certain things you can do, certain things you can't do. And when we live within the borders of what God gives us, then we're safe and protected. We go outside those borders, the things that God has given us, laid down and given us to do, we go outside that, you know. Hopefully nothing will happen, but you're sure taking a big chance. So, you know, God teaching us how to live within the borders he's given us, the boundaries. And we have boundaries that God has for us to live within. And we step outside those boundaries, you know, friend, you could get hurt, you could get wounded, the devil could really get you, you know. And that's where the devil gets involved many times is when you step outside those boundaries. And, you know, it's not very cute when that happens, but. But thank you, Lord, for Barbara, for teaching her about to help people stay within the boundaries, the borders that you've built for them by the word of God, by the truth. And now as they do that, they're going to be protected. They're going to be taken care of. They're going to be blessed. That's it, because we're in the provision realm of God's boundaries. Amen. So the boundary realm with Barbara, God, in Jesus' name, show her how to help people stay within the boundaries. Get outside the boundaries that God has created, and therefore we'll be blessed and protected and kept, and we won't try to start doing things that are beyond our faith, or doing things that are above our ability to, you know, the faith God has given us. Amen. So there you go. All right, Barbara, what's going on?
That's basically what I was teaching them when I told them when they cross the line. And it's not that we're trying to get you to come up to our standards. I told them I don't write the Bible. I just quote the scriptures and try to live the best that I know. And, you know, teaching them that you live where you are. And when someone tries to suppress things on you, that makes us a different story. And so that's what I talked on.
Yeah, so the temptation that we have is people trying to, you know, the enemy, like he did that with Jesus in the wilderness when he said, you know, turn this rock into bread. And I know you're hungry. Turn this rock into bread. That was, he was trying to get Satan outside of the borders of the boundaries that God gave him. And, so that's the whole Satan's strategies is to get us to do that. And Jesus said, you know, get behind me, you lying dog. And I'm not going to do that. You know, you can't tempt me. So it's really, really, really big thing.
Thank you. And it just encouraged my little heart because, you know, when I tell people, just because we don't talk very much or try to defend or try to prove truths and stuff to people, I tell them, when you're a prophetess and you walk in the office with those gifts, we are fillers. We can feel, touch, taste, see. And the Lord gives us these gifts when we can hear and all those senses. And so when you step out, I said, just repent where you are, and he'll remember that sin no more, but don't just keep doing it over and over, testing the water, because then you'll be on blast, you know, because, you know, go ahead, tell it.
When somebody's doing the same old sin all the time, there's a bondage there. We need to look at it as not a forgiveness, that, you know, asking for forgiveness, but more getting deliverance or, you know, teach them how to stay within the boundaries, you know. They're getting outside the boundaries somehow or another if they keep doing the same old thing all the time. And I've been there. I've had issues with catch myself getting into arguments with people. I used to like to argue the word of God. And I catch myself, people tempting me. I get in an argument with somebody about the word of God, and I'd be so upset that, you know, and it's like devil would get me in the flesh. And so, you know, I've done all kinds of things jumping out there.
Yeah. So I just really enjoy listening because, you know, they, a lot of times I know Terrence and Tanisha, she was ministering to me and she was saying when something is odd and then the Lord will make it even. Well, it happened Sunday. You know, some things happen and, you know, when the Lord baptized you in fire and people don't understand your action and your ways. And I'm like, ooh, God, I said, I went all the way out there. And then next thing I know, later on, I heard the same girl do the same thing. She was just screaming and praising God. You know, they probably thought we were loonies, but way off. But that, I mean, that's just who we are. I'm not a quiet person, you know, just because I'm quiet. But, you know, when the Spirit of God is on you, he anoints you to do things in the gospel. And so it's some things that were a little odd to some, but God made it even. And I'm just grateful that God will show me a Holy Ghost witness. He'll let me see somebody. They'll do exactly what happened to me. And so I'm not by myself. So I was just looking at what she had prophesied to me. And I was just laughing and thanking God for that testimony as well. And so, you know, I'm just enjoying it.
Cool.
I just enjoy the different levels, how he's teaching us to grow.
Yeah, you never know what you get when you come on PG&I. I never know what I'm going to get into. Sometimes I might know, but most of the time it's just kind of like you just kick in and you start talking and you open your mouth and God fills it and there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, some people think that I win a lot of people for Christ. You know, behind the scene, not behind the podium. And, you know, we don't talk like certain, we don't act and do, but I just enjoy being behind the scenes working for the glory. And I said, now, Lord, let me walk in the glory realm. Let me be that glory carrier. Because, you know, we do that anyway, but you just want more of it because it's different. So that's really what I want to do. Because I remember, you know, when it was Catherine Kuhlman and this other lady, I can't think of her name, but, you know, back in the day, they could just pass by and everybody fall out.
I know.
I mean, they didn't even have to lay hands on nobody. You just blow on them or just wave your hand and they would just gone out. 25 on your roll, everybody. And I'm like, Lord, where is those days? I miss that, Prophet Remember.
I do too.
I really,
I
yeah, that's what I asked for more of.
Yeah.
Staying in the way.
Yeah, she would,
praying.
Catherine Coleman would come out of a, you know, off the plane and step out into the floor. And, I mean, people just start, they didn't even know who she was. They didn't know what was going on. They just start going down, man. That was amazing.
I know. And that's the days that I want to go back to. That's the time.
Yeah.
So I just was praying, asking Lord, I said, Lord, take me back to that time. Let me do that again. Because, you know, you have it in you, but you won't know it until people testify of it. Because one guy said, I was feeling so bad and I had cancer and I couldn't even get dressed for church. And he turned around. I turned around and just looked at him and smiled. And he said, who is that sister? Who is she? He said, I don't know who she is, but I felt better after she smiled at me. He said, that's why I could stand up here and pray for you guys. I needed to meet that sister.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And they told him who it was. But, you know, it's not to get no glory. But I just thank God because I missed that, Prophet Randy. And I don't forget to assemble myself. But, you know, we're out there working anyway.
Pray
for that for me.
The glory, the way the glory is manifested at different times, the problem, I think that one of the problems with this, the reason it hasn't been, is because the church leadership has just gone, you know, into its own thing. And so because of that, you know, I think my whole preaching is that let's get the root of the problem dealt with and all this other glory stuff. It'll just happen automatically. It won't even be a hard thing to flow in. You know, you just it'll just flow like crazy. But God's going to clean up the church, start with the leadership, and when that's done, then what you're talking about is just going to be happening all over the place, all over the place.
Wow. I just wish you would come back. I mean, I just wish we could do another revival like you did before. We had such an awesome time. That was so beautiful. You and Julie and some more, and met a lot of radio people, you know? That was so phenomenal. I tell you,
yeah.
God moved. That was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, would like to do that, too. I would love to do that. And, yeah, so, but I have to, you know, hear from God about that. I mean, that's, you know, I love
just keep
people.
Stay in touch. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I would really love, I'm really looking forward to that. So it's going to happen. But I think God right now is doing a work, and he's doing a prophet work, and he's doing a work of breaking down the leadership so that they can re-yield themselves to the Lord. And those who do, like you said, that glory movement, healings and miracles, I think that's been the problem, the reason revival hasn't been able to stay. It comes and goes and comes and goes really quickly these days in many places.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to have it, you know, it's just flowing like a river. Yeah, I think that's his goal, is people just lifting their hand up and people being slain, healed, and delivered, you know, with demons coming out of people. Yeah, that's his purpose.
And then it turns to merch. That's the sad part about it. It started turning to merch, you know. And I said, Lord, I just can't go no more. I'm just tired. I'm just tired of what I see, you know, that's going on. And then they want you to pray them through after they've screwed it up. And then, you know, how we have to do the pre-service and pre-this and pre-that. I say it's time for a change. It's time for the apostolic anointing to hit again and just do that shift again. And that's what I see. I see a lot of the shift. I see the good, the bad, and the ugly, but I look for the gold. And when, you know, we got chewed out. Stop calling out things that you see ugly. Call, look for the gold, look for the God. I said, well, the Lord is raising up a remnant of people, and he's taking us higher. And that's the thing that I try to stay focused on, stay focused, you know. And I enjoy, you know, this show. I really do. I've grown so much through the years, you know, and I just try to stay focused. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Cool. All right. Glad we got to connect. And, I'm with you on the Catherine Coleman thing. That's my biggest desire. I fought the prophet thing for a long time because that's what I wanted to do. I had meetings. I got on the radio. But having meetings, having a healing miracle service over here, revival, blah, blah, blah. That was my life. I mean, and we saw some miracles and some creative miracles even.
Mm-hmm.
And the healings and all kinds of things going on. People that would show up, I didn't really have a clue who these people were. It was it's so unusual. It's such an amazing thing. And so do I look forward to that? Yeah. But I think God's going to, cleanse the leadership first. He's going to get rid of this merchandising thing, where people start, everything's about giving away, like, you know, instead of selling. And when that happens, it's going to change the whole atmosphere of the body of Christ all over the globe.
Yeah.
We got to deal with it first. That's kind of like God says, deal with this first. I know you want this and you want that, Randy, but you got to deal with this first. I'm going like, okay. Can we hurry it up a little bit more?
That's where I'll be. So I'll be like, what? I know you're behind the scenes working, but can you go a little faster, please? And just gotta have a taste. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you gotta cleanse us first, because nothing's going to be solid and continual and abide. There's not gonna be a revival that's gonna abide because they'll start merchandising it, and when they start doing that, it really defiles the whole thing. So, and that, I know people get upset because I talk about it so much, but it's the root of the problem. If you find that your grandma's got cancer, and somebody's got a solution for it, and you keep talking about the solution. Why do you keep talking about that solution? You know, what do you keep talking about that for? What do you keep talking about that for? Because that's the solution to the problem. But they think they're going to have operated on, and you have some like Isaiah. When Isaiah went to King Hezekiah, hang on a second. Isaiah went to King Hezekiah. He said, "You're going to live. You're not going to die. I mean, you're going to die, and you're not going to live, and you know you're not going to recover. That's it. You're going down." Walks out. Hezekiah tells God all the good things that he did for him, and God goes, "Okay, I'm going to give you 15 more years." But comes back in, and you know, all of a sudden, the prophet goes over and grabs a fig, and says, "Here, this fig will fix this. This thing is killing you. Well, why didn't that happen before? You know, why didn't the prophet come in and say, oh, hey, we're going to get this fig over here. I think the same fig was in the room that was in the room when he got back that ended up healing his wound. That's what healed him was a fig. The Lord showed Isaiah, get a fig, put it on his wound, and he did it, and the king was healed, I don't know if miraculously, but whatever you want to call that. So why didn't he do that the first time? You know, because sometimes God just does stuff, but he was a but the answer sometimes people want isn't what the answer is. And so they do everything but what you're telling them. That's just the same thing Jesus said. Jesus said that if somebody else comes along to you and tells you something to follow them the wrong way, you follow them. But when you come along and somebody tells you the right way to follow them, you don't follow them. Because it's built into us to rebel against the real word of the Lord, you know. And so it's just that it's crazy, but it is when that thing happened with Marcus Lamb. It's as sad as it was. I love Marcus. I have nothing against Marcus ever. He was God used him in my life. I think everybody knows that. But when God started speaking to me about it, about the merchandising room, and then all of a sudden he was, I mean, just out of the blue, he was removed just like that. And he's the head gatekeeper of one of the biggest merchandising, maybe the biggest merchandising. I think TBN has changed a lot of the way they deal with money. They haven't done it completely, but they've done a little bit. And so I guess Daystar really was the biggest. So the head gatekeeper and all that merchandise that goes on there was taken out instantly. Mark, Joni still says she doesn't understand how that could have happened. His heart just stopped. It was like that. Boom. Sad. Gone.
Wow.
Yeah, so to me, that was God saying, Randy, you know, it sounds horrible to connect this to that, but it's just the way, it's the truth. Because I talked about him 2 to 3 weeks before it all happened, that God was going to take him out, but I didn't mean physically. And I talked about all that 2 or 3 weeks and all of a sudden it happened. There's no coincidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
People try to turn it into a coincidence. I say, there's no coincidence about that. We talked about it 2, 3, 4 weeks before it happened, and then it happened, you know, that he would be taken out. So I didn't mean physically dying. I never thought that would have happened. But, you know, it dealt with the highest level of merchandising. So once God removes that high level of merchandising, that gets the merchandising thing out, that lets in every wicked thing, as he's cleansing that, then it opens the door for what you're talking about, Barbara. The Captain Coleman days, you know, all that. But it's not going to happen, I guarantee you. I'm sad to say. It ain't going to happen until that's dealt with.
Mm.
So get out there and surprise us all. Do it anyway.
Well, you know what I'm called to do, so I've been out there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. All right.
We are called to do a work, and so now we have to work. We all have to work. We all get on one accord. But thank you for praying. And would you pray for my granddaughter before I hang up? Her name is Yana. Well, that's not all of her name, but I call her Yana.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Barbara. All right. Thank you for Yana, God. We thank you for Yana that the enemy not be able to distract her, hurt her, harm her, cause her years of suffering, years of distractions. We thank you, Lord, you're keeping her safe, watching over her heart, God, letting her be dedicated to you, Jesus, and conquering the things that other people don't conquer. Let her conquer them in Christ Jesus. let her conquer them, realize that Jesus truly is the lover of her soul. I remember Captain Coleman got saved when she was, 10, 11, went to a meeting with her mama. And Anyway, so thank you, Jesus, for those experiences with you, Jesus, that connect her to you, God, and make her feel safe and protected and kept and watched over, that when somebody messes with her the wrong way, that you're going to deal with it. You're going to help her by dealing with them. You're going to get them to repent and say they're sorry, and you're going to do it, God. You're going to show that you're watching over her, you're protecting her, God, that she can depend on you, Jesus, all of her little life, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There's no more hands up tonight, so if you want to talk tonight, you might as well get your hand up. Fix a call tonight if you don't raise your hand.
Hello. Hi, Randy.
Hi. Who am I talking to here?
This is Carla from Texas.
Hi, Carla.
I was needing prayer for me and my family. We lost my sister last week.
Oh. Right. You lost your, what was your sister's name?
Her name was Barbara.
Barbara?
Yes.
And how old was Barbara?
She was 60.
Well, she was a young little chick, wasn't she? That's too bad.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Barbara, okay, let's pray for her and pray for your family. Thank you, Jesus, for my sister tonight, God, that Carla, that you comfort her heart, comfort her family, let her be an anointed vessel to release comfort into other people, God, that she can reach out and touch them in prayer, reach out and touch them, maybe put a hand on them of comfort and release comfort into them, Jesus. And that Barbara, her sister Barbara, will be able to, that they will be able to give her over to you, God, and yield her over to you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. And 60 years old, that's very young, the grief over that, the sorrow over that, you will give them wisdom and revelation and teachings and songs and hymns and different things to comfort them, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to give them a wider width, a deeper depth, a higher height of Jesus Christ during this season. You will comfort and bless Father Carla, God, that she can be a comfort to them. And if they can't receive comfort from you, Father, that she will be able to release that comfort through her hands, through her prayers, through her words to the other family members, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for her life. We thank you that her life will be celebrated, Jesus. You will show them how to celebrate her life. And because sometimes celebrating her life helps people get through things. There's different ways to help people get through the loss of a loved one. And that is talk about them, you know, rejoice over their, you know, funny things they did, and whatever the stuff they did. Just talk about her and you're going to miss her. So thank you, Lord, for giving them comfort to do that and understand that it's okay to miss. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to do all that because you're there to comfort them. You're the mighty Holy Spirit who comes to comfort the hearts of your people, God. In Jesus' name, use my sister, God, to bring extreme comfort to her family, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, Carla, thank you for letting me pray with you about that. My voice is trying to mess with me a little bit. All right, anybody else want to have prayer tonight? Prayer tonight, or I want to talk about something. We are still open for business, God's business. Okay. All right, it's 11, almost 11:30. Nobody else wants prayer or talk or whatever? I will not feel bad about leaving early. Y'all pray for me. I'm doing good. I'm not feeling bad, but I'm not feeling great either. You know, like you still feel that thing lingering around. So pray for me about all that. And I'm resting up as much as I can. So thank you for your prayers. Thanks for everything you do for PGN. Awesome. All right. I guess we're going to call tonight. Nobody else is raising up their hands, so we're going to go bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody.